I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be back and speaking this morning. Appreciate again that we were able to have our gospel meeting, and what I was able to attend, I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought they were good, encouraging lessons, and we hope that good seed from that has been sown will come forth and bring glory to God as a result. But I'm thankful that my voice and my leg will allow me this morning to stand before you and present God's word. And I want to talk with you about what we've been focusing on recently in our study on Wednesday night, looking into the beginning of the book of Joshua, where a new leader is chosen for the people by God when Moses dies and is buried by God on Mount Nebo. And what we find early on in the beginning of this is, do not fear or be discouraged. Those are two things that all of us must deal with as human beings, fear and discouragement, two great tools of the devil to try to destroy us and pull us away from God. When we go into the book of Numbers, chapter 21, we see how Israel struggled with this and the problems that it brought to them when it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, I'm sure we could, if we were able to have seen their face, could have seen the discouragement in the face that came from the discouragement in the soul. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. It's something that we struggle with commonly as human beings. Numbers 32 and verse 9, when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. Discouragement and fear are contagious, much more dangerous than any physical illness that we might catch from someone when we catch their fear and their discouragement. 10 of the 12 spies that went up into the land discouraged a nation. There was an outbreak of fear and discouragement among them, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. That would be equivalent to you and I not going to heaven, gaining eternal life because of fear and discouragement in this life. All become discouraged. It's common at some point in our life. Life is not always lived on the mountaintop. And if it is, we have to work hard to get to the mountaintop. It's comprised of both peaks and valleys. We'll have high points in our life and low points in our life. It's up and down, back and forth. And that's the way of a human life. But I want to add as well and encourage you to think about the fact that churches, like people, also have a spirit, really, that is within them. The same periods are seasons of growth and times of encouragement, as well as times of discouragement and trial. Now, the reason for that is simple. It's because churches are not made up of bricks and mortar, but of human beings, of children of God. Discouragement is one of the primary devices of Satan, who is our adversary. We're warned in Peter's letter, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so that alone is discouraging, to know the enemy that we have. And Satan continued his work throughout the first century and into our own lives today. But it was in Luke 22 and verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. We're kind of reminiscing and looking back to the time of Job and where Satan wanted to try and test Job. Now he's asking for Peter, that he may sift him as wheat. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We should not be ignorant of his devices. The church is composed of members, people, not plywood, not brick. In Luke 17:21, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's comprised again of the heart and soul of individual people. So when you consider that fact, since we collectively are the Belleville Church of Christ, made up of the members identified with this congregation, if we are weak, the church is weak. You can't take weak members and make a strong church. If we are discouraged, the church is discouraged. And if we are indifferent, then the church becomes indifferent, like we read about in the seven churches of Asia that Jesus wrote letters to. If we grow spiritually as individual members, the church grows. So again, it works both ways. If we are encouraged rather than discouraged, then the church will be encouraged. And if we are filled with zeal, the church is filled with zeal. So I hope what you understand by this is the tremendous destructive power of discouragement, and that God does not want it to destroy us or to hold back the church on this earth. Our Lord understands the importance of this, and in Deuteronomy, going back to the time of Moses, and verse 21, the Lord your God, he said, has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. That would be like, again, in the New Testament, him saying, the kingdom of heaven is set before you. Go up and possess it. And he says, do not fear or be discouraged. Some of the last words of Moses to the people, do not fear or be discouraged. So I ask the question for our consideration this morning. How do we defeat discouragement and fear? Start with our power source. Understand that the power is not in us. If it's only us, we will go through many times of discouragement and fear. It comes from the source of God and His Word. Realize that it is in the Lord that we are to lean on Him and lean not on our own understanding. There are times that we can't understand, and Satan would use that against us to get us to question God or His love and our commitment to Him. But the more we know about God, the more we lean on Him, we understand again the strength is in God. Philippians 4:13 has it right when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now again, the idea of I can do is totally different than I cannot do. And someone once said, there's a quote that says, whether you say you can do or you can't do, you're right both ways. When you are down and discouraged and you allow it to defeat you, you will not be able to do what you can do through Christ who strengthens us. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. When our mind is stayed on the Lord, on God, Satan cannot get inroads. He cannot use his fiery darts against us when we lean on the Lord, because he trusts in you. That's why, that's the secret, focusing on our strength, our Word of God. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. God is not like man who faints or who is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall not faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. As we get older, we think, oh, if we were only younger again. But even the younger get weary. Even the younger get discouraged and can faint. We must renew our strength in the source of that strength, in the Lord. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. An eagle knows when a storm is approaching, we are told. And the eagle will fly to a higher spot and wait for the winds to pick up. And when the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. And while the storm rages below, the eagle soars above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It uses the storm to lift it higher. And that's where part of the answer is for you and I. Use the trials, use the tribulations to strengthen our faith, our trust and our confidence in the Lord. We do not have to be overcome by the storms and the low points in our life that come upon us. We can allow God's power to lift us above them, and with the help of our Lord, we can soar above the storm rather than going through it and having to endure it. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Paul, again a man that knew controversy and hatred and tribulation and persecution, says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Oh, that we could get to that point in our life, that when we go through tribulation and adversity, that we can go above it and use it to our strength and to God's glory. For when I am weak, Paul said, then I am strong. You see, if I trust in myself, I want to give credit to myself and talk about me and what I have done. But when I trust in the Lord and I gain strength from weakness, I know where it comes from, and I give glory and honor to the Lord in my life rather than myself. David talks about in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 16, David was greatly distressed. The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all of the people was grieved. This was a very down time, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He went to the right place. Start with your power source. Realize it's not in you. Lean on the Lord. Second, get busy doing something for someone else. This is the key and the answer. Get out of ourself and not focus on self, but on God. Discouragement and depression grow best in an overactive mind and an underactive body. Times of idleness are doors of opportunity to Satan to get us to, again, doubt the Lord, to turn against the Lord, to do things that we know we shouldn't be involved in because we're idle, just as David was right before his great sin with Bathsheba. So again, we need to understand that we need our mind engaged in things that are good and lawful and right, focusing on God. And then become active. Someone once said the 10 rules for getting rid of depression and defeating discouragement is do something for someone and then repeat it 9 more times. Do something for someone else, someone that needs your help and encouragement. Matthew 10:39, he who finds his life will lose it. Focusing on himself, he'll lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Lose self by again seeking to do good unto others. Get busy not only helping others, but saving souls. Teaching the word of God, giving others the best gift you can. Helping our own as well to grow and be stronger and more faithful to the Lord. Trying times are not times to quit. We need to understand that. It's time to get busy and do the will of the Lord. Psalm 42, a very encouraging psalm. Three verses from there, verse 5, verse 8, and verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Here's one speaking to himself. Why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Here he talks about, again, my song in the night. And we can, again, think about the Apostle Paul in prison and going through times of great trial because of his faith in the Lord. And at midnight, the great earthquake and the story that happened with that, Paul didn't focus on himself. He focused on the sinner, the jailer that needed to hear the word of God. And that night he came to him and said to him, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they took advantage of that opportunity. You're down and you're discouraged, do something for another. The greatest something you can do is spread the word of God. Save a soul. There is more to the race that is set before us that we must endure it till the end. And not give up, not grow weary, not let fear or discouragement stop us. Hebrews 12 and verse 12, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." I can appreciate that a little more this week than before. The feeble knees, that may be our weakness, but God's strength is greater. And he tells us where to look. And what we're surrounded by. In Hebrews 12 and beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. That sin again of doubt and discouragement that Satan uses. Let us run with endurance. Not our endurance, that which the Lord gives us. Run with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We can sit down, do nothing, and have a pity party for ourselves, or we can look to the author of our salvation, Jesus himself, who endured the cross. He endured more than anything that we can ever imagine or will ever be called upon to endure. He despised the shame, but now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, the writer says. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Throughout the word of God, these words and commands ring true. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. What about you? Are you on the mountaintop now in your life or in the valley? Are you suffering things that are dragging you down and you're trying to bear them on your own? Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior? Do you need help? In the times where you're down and discouraged, or in the times that you're fearful, Who will be with you? Paul himself, if you read through some of those sections we were studying this morning, talks about all of those that had been with him, that had turned away, and it talks about how he was alone, standing by himself against the powers and forces of Satan. And yet he was not alone. The Lord was with him. If he is your Lord, he will be with you. But that's your choice. You've got to make the decision to become a Christian, a child of God, so that you can go to the Lord, not only to praise him in times of goodness and joy, but to petition him in your times of greatest need. In order to be a child of God, after hearing God's word, you're faced with a choice. You've got to believe it or not. If you believe it firmly with your heart, if you have that genuine faith like Timothy had, according to Paul, you will not only believe it, but you'll obey him. You will repent of your sins, as Jesus commands in Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30 and 31, as well as other passages. And then you will confess your faith in Jesus as God's Son. Paul in Romans 10 said, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And just as with the Ethiopian eunuch, upon confession of your faith, then you will be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And that will make Jesus your Lord, your Savior, your Master. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing to encourage you?